myself and I thought that it was this mic and apparently it was that.
You got 4 bars, so you should be good.
I'm okay. Yeah. Okay.
You're good.
Okay, I just brought batteries to the...
Okay. But I'm good. Karen, you know what?
Good morning. Welcome to services on this beautiful day. I want you to know that our Secretary Karen is not fouling up the bulletin on the lay reader. Norma Jean broke her hip, is in surgery this morning at Alamogordo for that hip. So Donald and Mary are at the hospital where they should be. I remind you to fill out the roster book and pass it across to the other lane. And visitors, we have give us enough information that we can contact you. Also, the blue slips on the back of the pew fill out for praises and for concerns, and the ushers will pick those up during the first song. We're always looking for visitors this time of year. It's kind of thin, but do we have any visitors this morning? Let's start on my right, your left. Any visitors, please raise your hand.
Doc, on this side.
Okay, on this side. Visitors on this side. Barbara, if you can find any visitors, that's fine. I don't see them.
She already got him. She already got him.
Any more announcements anybody needs to make? Okay, go ahead with the prelude.
Our opening hymn is found on page 395. Stand as we sing together, Take Time to Be Holy.
Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let him be thy guide, and run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous.
Our God is full of compassion.
Let us walk in the presence of the Lord, in the land of the living, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Lord listens to the cries of the people, who turn their full hearts to the one who has mercy. Let our tongues now make confession in the presence of God and of this body.
Please turn in your Faith We Sing book to 2244, People Need the Lord.
People need the Lord, people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord, people need.
You may be seated.
Join together in the prayer of confession as in your bulletin. Holy God, in the face of sin, our gravest enemy, we call to you for help. You know our fault before we speak. Forgive us for what we have done in opposition to your will. Forgive us for those things we have not undertaken, and for which we know our wrong. We have not loved you and our neighbors as we ought. We have denied our dependence on you. Lead us away from this grief and sorrow. Save us so that we may fulfill our vows to you and attend to the needs of your people. Amen. God, who is gracious and merciful, knows the human desire to save our lives by avoiding Jesus' call to carry the cross. God, who is full of compassion, also knows that those who repent have set their minds and hearts on what endures for all time. Your sin is forgiven. The Lord God is a very present help to those who seek to follow in the way of divine things. Go with God in joy as you take up your cross in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Ushers, come forward, please.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we welcome this time of the service where we bring to you our tithes and offerings. The church is in your service. Money is definitely a tool. Do our job. So that we ask that everybody give generously for the work of this church. Amen.
final prayer's request today? No joys and concerns. Okay, at least we can agree that we are joyous to be here this morning. Okay? So, I still will have a prayer for all of us. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, Lord, for this wonderful day that you have made just for us, Lord. We praise you, Father, and we magnify your name. You're an awesome God, Lord, and we can never say enough good things about you. We thank you, Lord, that today as we come together, we are in freedom to worship you, my Heavenly Father, and we can sing, Lord, with a joyous heart, my Heavenly Father, songs of praise, Lord, all to your glory. And it is, Father, to your glory that we all would like to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Prayer of Illumination. You speak to us, Lord, with tongues of wisdom. Let your Holy Spirit now open us to hear with greater clarity the teachings of today that we may hold dear yet new ways, what it is you will have for us, in Jesus' name, amen. This is children. Children. Okay. And I knew that, Debbie.
Okay, so good morning. We morning. Are very, very beautiful and very handsome today. And thank you for participating in our church service to help out all of our little ones. So, this morning, I'm going to talk to you about my three friends who I have asked to come and help me with my message to y'all, okay? So, which one of my friends here, sitting up here, has the most hair? It's Miss Lisa, and look, she has an abundant amount of just beautiful flowing hair, doesn't she? Now, who do you think would be second in having the most hair? That would be Mr. Jack. This is very, that would be Mr. Jones. Okay. So, let me ask you another question. How many hairs do you think are on Miss Lisa's head?
Thousand.
A thousand. Okay. Let's go, Mr. Jack. How many do you think?
15.
Okay. And how about Mr. Jim? How many?
10.
Is awesome. more years.
2,000 years.
2,000 years. She says a day. 1,000 years. Okay. You know what? Believe it or not, there is someone who knows exactly how many hairs that are on your head.
Who do you think that is?
Jesus.
Yeah. That is Jesus. Absolutely. It's God. God knows exactly how many hairs are on our head. And in our Bible, it is quoted, not once, but twice. But in Matthew, the book of Matthew, it says, Jesus said, even the hairs on our head are numbered. He knows how many we have. It could take us years or days or whatever, but Jesus knows, all right? And that's pretty amazing, right? God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows everything about us, okay? The good news is that he loves us too. There are many times when we may feel lonely or that a time where nobody knows how we are really feeling, but God knows everything. Everything we're going through, and his love is always reaching out to each and every one of us. Your age, their age, everybody. High school agers, okay? Yeah, God reaches up to everybody. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear God, thank you that you love us and know everything about us. Help us to remember that we are never really alone and that you understand us when we are happy and when we are sad.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you that your great love will always give us strength and hope. And in Jesus' name, all God's children said,
Amen.
All right, so now I have a funny. Are we ready? I'm not really as good as Paula and her jokes. Okay. So here's my funny for the day. Orange, you glad that God loves you? And at that point, you guys all congrats, Orange.
Awesome. Awesome. I get such a kick all the time of the children's service. They are just so on point. The facilitators work so hard to put something together, and they always exceed what I'm thinking they're going to do. Just really, really great. We're blessed by having them. Hello out there to all our Facebook friends, and my children has threatened me of coming down here uninvited if I don't say I love you all. Today we're going to read out of Matthew 7:11. And it reads, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, through your evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is our third sermon on praying, and we have one more to go. I hope that you have enjoyed it and learned something, taken something home. The sermon today is entitled, Why Doesn't God Answer My Call? I have two answers for you. One, because you're not answering his. And two, because you might be calling the wrong number. Let's stop for a moment to consider who God is. He is infinitely strong, and he can do all that he pleases. And he is infinitely righteous, so he only does what is right. And he is infinitely good, so that everything he does is perfectly good. And he is infinitely wise, so that he always knows perfectly what is the right and the good thing to do. And he is infinitely loving, so that in all his strength, righteousness, and goodness, wisdom, he raises the eternal joy of his loved ones as high as it can be raised. When you stop to consider any or all these things, then the extravagant invitation of God to ask him for good things with the promise that he will give them to you has to be unimaginably wonderful. Have we ever stopped to think about that? But how many of us meditate on this word? This means that one of the great short-term tragedies in the church is how little inclination we have to pray first. Ask God first. Ask him before we plan, before we start acting and expecting God to come along to our plans, before the confirmation to do or not to do comes from a friend or your boss or even your spouse. The greatest invitation in the world is extended to us, and incomprehensibly, we often turn away to other things. It is as if God sent us an invitation to the greatest banquet that ever was, and we send him word back saying, I have bought a field, and I must go and see it. Or, I have plans for this week, and I can't attend. Or even, I am so busy with everything, family, work, special events, my social activities, and of course, church, that I just don't have time. I don't have time to pray, except when I need something. Well, that might be your situation, but my prayer is that God will use this message and his word from Jesus in Matthew 7, as well as other influences in your life, to awaken in you a compelling inclination to pray. When you came in, you saw that the table out there had a whole bunch of prayer books in there, and I wish I could give them to you, but you wouldn't want them because they're written inside. But I would like for you to take a look at the books that I read on prayer. And of course, I don't exactly always recite them. You know, I start with one of those prayers and I go on my own, because praying is a conversation with God. But they have helped me through the years, and I love my book of prayers. I also put two post-its with a pen just in case you found one that you thought might bring you some joy and some help, and you can write the name of the book and who wrote it, and you can get it on your own. I'd like to share with you what these verses are saying, not only to me, but I believe that to each one of you here and each one of you within the sound of my voice. It seems clear to me that Jesus' main purpose in these verses is to encourage us and motivate us to pray. I hope that you can see that too. Let me break it down for you. Three times he invites us to pray. To ask him for what we need. It is the number of times that he invites us that should get our attention. Verses 7 and 8 exactly break it down for you. Ask, knock, seek. I think that all of that is just words of encouragement to let you know how prepared they are to receive our prayer. The repetition is meant to say, I really mean this. I want you to do this. Ask your Father for what you need. Seek your Father for the help that you need. Knock on the door of your Father's house so he will open it and give you what you need. If that is not encouragement to go into prayer, I don't know what it would be. Even better and more amazing that these three invitations are the seven promises he makes if we pray. Remember, I've told you that we need to pray the promises of God because God likes to hear us saying them and repeating them, and that some of the books that are out there are exactly that, the promises of God for different situations. So there are seven promises in here that are extremely important, and I would recommend that you, when you have your quiet time, write them down and put them in a post-it in your prayer book, in your Bible, so that you can declare them when you're praying. One is ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. And then at the end of verse 11, it says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Seven times he is giving you a promise. If you do this, we'll do this. If you knock, we will open. If you seek, you will find. If you ask, we will answer. I mean, it's so clear that I know that sometimes we're distracted by the things of the world, but I thought that it was so important for me to break them down and just tell them to you one by one. Surely the point of this lavish collection of promises is to say to us, be encouraged. Come, pray to him. It is not in vain that you pray. God is not toying with you. He answers your prayers. He gives good things when you pray. Be encouraged. Pray often, pray regularly, and pray confidently, knowing that God has heard you. And because we're all unique, God makes himself accessible at different levels. Jesus encouraged us not only by the number of invitations and promises, but by the threefold variety of invitations. In other words, God stands ready to respond positively when you find him at different levels of accessibility and also at different seasons of our lives. Because the things that we might have been praying when we were 30 might not be exactly the things that we're praying now, might not be exactly the things that we'll pray 5 years from now. The point seems to be that it doesn't matter whether you find God immediately close at hand, almost touchable with his nearness, or hard to see even with barriers in between, he will hear you. And he will give you good things because you look to him and no other. Remember, you shall have no other God but me. And if you have that, and if you have the seven promises, and if the Lord is telling you, I'm here and I'm listening, I cannot imagine a better map for our prayer life than these things. Jesus encourages us to pray by making it explicit that everyone who asks receives, not just some people. And yes, he is talking about the children of God here, and not all human beings. If we will not have Jesus as our Savior and God as our Father, then these promises will not apply to us. This does not mean that in God's mercy, he will not act against for someone that is not safe. But certainly, if we are not safe, we cannot claim these promises, as it is stated here. In John 1 and 12, it says, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To become a child of God, we must receive the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ, who gave us the authority of adoption. This is who these promises are for God's adopted children. Church, Jesus knows that we are fearful and shy, that we're full of excuses as I'm not eloquent, I have an accent, I speak in a strange language, anything and everything in order not to pray, just not to spend the time in prayer. You know, because we are all at any moment can say, Jesus, help me. And that's a prayer too. But God is looking for a more intimate relationship than that. We also feel unworthy and unfit to present our needs to God. We think that God is so great and we are so tiny, and that we place roadblocks in our prayer walk. All those things, every time we judge ourselves as to how unworthy we is, imagine yourself going out and picking up a rock and putting it in front of you. Pretty soon you're going to have this wall that is just full of objections that means nothing to God because he doesn't see you like that. This is why Christ wants to lure us away from that way of thinking, the judging, can we pray, can we not pray. He wants to remove our doubts and to have us go ahead confidently and boldly, approaching the throne of grace. There is no particular way to prayer. And as you will see in those books, if you flip through them, everybody has a different way of approaching the throne of grace. What you need to keep in your mind is that that's where you're trying to get to the throne of grace. You're wanting to take your petition to the throne of grace. Sometimes we have to crawl because we have no words. And if that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do. When we come to God through Jesus, we are coming to our Father. God will never, never give us what is bad for us. He will not do anything on purpose to destroy us. That is not his plan. That has never been his plan. Even when we can see through the Bible that there has been consequences to people's choices, it's exactly that. It's not a punishment. It's the consequences of our choices. Verse 11, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now remember, we are God's children. So we're asking God, will he not give us the best, the most perfect gift that he has planned for us? If we ask, I believe that he will. And Father was not a random name Jesus decided to use to refer to God. He actually referred to God as Abba, a loving way of saying dad or daddy. I think you all can identify with the own name that you gave your own fathers. I have not said father in Spanish for many years because it's still hurts. God is our Father. God is our loving Father. This is the first thing that we as Christians must believe and trust. God is our Father. He is our Heavenly Father. The implication is that he will never, never give us anything that is bad for us. Never, because he is our loving Father. I know some of us come from broken homes with abusive parents or no parents at all. But when we accepted Jesus dying on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and that he is unequivocally, the Son of the one true God, then God has adopted us. We became his children, and he became our heavenly Father. It's just as simple as that. Just as simple as that. Look at it in your Bible, read it. Memorize it if you have to. Do whatever you need to do to make sure that you are planted in who your heavenly Father is. I can tell you from personal experiences that some scars are deep, but the love of Christ has a way of healing them from the inside out. No, you don't forget the things that have hurt you, but you don't live with them day to day either. They don't just take your heart and turn it upside down. They don't hurt as they used to because they have been healed from the inside out. And all of a sudden, all those pains become lessons and even ministries sometimes. We are to believe without a doubt that God is our Father. Don't ever limit your understanding of the fatherhood of God to your own experience with your own fathers. Rather, take heart that God has none of the sins, none of the limitations, none of the weaknesses or hang-ups of our earthly fathers. Finally, remember, it is the cross of Christ that we find, that where we find the foundation for all the answers to our prayers. If we did not have Christ, we would have never been adopted by the one true God. The death of Jesus is the foundation for all the promises of God. This is where we say, and why we say at the end of our prayers, in Jesus' name. It is everything, and everything depends on Jesus. I could not close this sermon without one clarification. These verses do not mean that everything we ask will be given to us. No, we do not get everything we ask for, and we should not get everything we want. And I don't think that if we really think about it, we even want to. The reason I say we will not want to get everything we ask is because we will then have to bear the burden of infinite wisdom, which we do not have. We simply don't know enough to perfectly decide how every decision will turn out. In this event, in our lives, or in our futures. And not at all in history. A long time ago, as I was working through hospice and in congregational care, I learned about asking God for certain gifts. And because I deal with sick people a lot, I ask God, can I have the gift of healing? And I know that some of you are going to say, she's crazy. And I tell you, my children like to say, Mom is hearing voices again. But I hearly heard in my spirit, no, because you would not know how to use it. And that's exactly right. I wouldn't know how to use it. Because I don't know what it would be best, if to hold you here or if to let you go. Another reason I say that we do not get all we ask is because Jesus says in verse 9 and 10 that a good father will not give his child a stone if he asks for bread, and will not give him a serpent if he asks for a fish. Sometimes, people, we don't know that the fish we are praying for is really a serpent in disguise. I confess I did not come to trust God through an easy road. I kind of see myself crawling through the back roads until I actually was able to deposit the most important thing that I had kept, and that was trust. I also have to I also need to tell you that I at times have to have a come to Jesus meeting when I don't hear what I want to hear. Sometimes the answer is no, not now, or wait. But the hardest answer for me is when I pray and I can tell that God is silent. Not because he has not heard me, but because his answer is one that at that time I will not be able to withstand. That is the hardest for me, because when I realize that he is silent, I know that there is a completely different plan, different than what I would like it to be. But because I trust him above all, I go back to whatever the answer is and to the last place the Lord told me to stay until he tells me to move again. I trust him with all my heart. I do not lean on my own understanding. And I do that because he is my Father, and he only gives good things. And because, above all, I trust him. In closing, I would like to ask you to be in prayer for this church and the lay leadership this week. In the next couple of weeks, we will be dealing with finances, missions, outreach, church services, and community programs. I want to tell you that I am surrounded by a wonderfully committed lay leaders and faithful church members. I know that before we get together, we all have been in prayer. And I would like to let you know that we also need your prayers. We like prayers for wisdom. We like prayers for discernment. And we would like prayers to be of one mind in our mission for the kingdom of God. So today, let us take Jesus at his word. Because if we don't, oh, how many blessings we're going to miss out on. All because we do not ask, we do not seek, and we do not knock. These are blessings for ourselves, our families, our church, our children, our nation, and our world. Let us pray. Abba, Father, hear your church today as we bring our joys and our concerns, our thanksgiving and our prayers. Fill us with the assurance that you truly hear our words, that you hear our thoughts, that you hear our songs, and you hear our tears. Grant us a new anointing for prayer, for holy conversation with you. In the name of the one who always shows us the way, Jesus our Lord and our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, if you have not received Jesus as your Savior, I would like to offer this moment. If you would like to come forward, I'll be glad to pray with you and for you here. And if not, please reach me in my office during the week. I will love to meet with you.
Our closing song is found on page 404. Also, get out your Faith We Sing book, and the number has changed. It's 2145 for our closing chorus. Please stand as we sing together, "Every Time I Feel the Spirit."
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Upon the mountain, my Lord spoke. Out of his mouth came fire and smoke. All around me looked so shine. Asked my Lord if all was mine. Every time I feel the Spirit. the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Jordan River runs right cold, chills the body, not the soul. Ain't but one train on this track, runs to heaven and right back. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray.
And now receive this blessing from the Lord. May the teachings of your Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, and the presence of the one God who abides with you always, keep you strong and gentle for the sake of the goodness that is willed for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and be in prayer for your church and your pastor, please.
I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul.